Ever since a black cosmetician named Chuck Berry turned a country and western song into a teen hit, and Delta blues man Ike Turner and his teenage wife pretty much invented funk, St. Louis has been producing rock and roll which has defied the prevailing norm. But is it possible that in 1969 it also produced America's Beatles, a band no one ever heard of? Rock historian Ed Ward investigates the curious case of the Aravons.
These are the words from a song we used to sing all along and through rainy days and sleepless nights. Sing them well, sing them right.
According to those who were there at the time, St. Louis in the late 60s was awash in great bands. There were only two problems: no recording studio to record them, and no interest from national record companies busy chasing the latest thing from San Francisco or New York. People still talk about the acid test, the good feeling, and especially about the Aravons. The Aravons were the brainchild of Tom Hartman, whose father had been an amateur musician and whose mother had been a big band singer. Tom saw the Beatles on television when he was 12, and his life changed. He bought a guitar and grew his hair like theirs. By the time he was 16, he'd formed the Aravons, the outlet for his Beatle dreams. In late 1967, Tom's mother, Maureen, decided the boys should make a demo, so they went into a St. Louis studio with a hired cello player and recorded one of Tom's songs, World of You.
It's a new world of you, and I'm just a stranger here. It's a new thing to do, and I'm being quite sincere.
Miraculously, a representative from Capitol Records, who released the Beatles in America, found himself in that same demo studio and heard the band recording. He decided there was something there, and in a couple of days, Capitol rang the Hartman home, offering a session in Los Angeles. Maureen was the one who talked to them, though, and she said no dice. Either the Aravons recorded in London, or they didn't record at all. So they recorded in London. In January 1968, the boys got on a plane and flew to London. Maureen was with them, and she set up an appointment with EMI, Capitol's parent company, while the boys walked down Carnaby Street and bought flowered shirts and fish and chips. After a couple of days, the meeting took place, and they were offered a deal to record a single for Parlophone, the Beatles' British label, one of several under the EMI umbrella. They'd return in August to sign the contracts and record early in 1969. EMI turned on the hospitality, getting the boys memberships in the Speakeasy Club, where they met Paul McCartney and heard Jimi Hendrix jamming. They also got a tour of Abbey Road, where they had a talk with a guitarist recording there named George Harrison. The visit concluded with an impromptu gig in a nightclub in front of a frenzied crowd. Back home, two of the original Aravons got cold feet, but Tom recruited three new guys, and they began making demos like crazy. Finally, in March 1969, they went to London again to record their single.
I remember when you went away, goodbye. Broken-hearted words were left and right. I remember all the things you said that night. Slightly parted memories in the darkened sky. How long has the train been gone? Waiting for you, you're overdue. How long?
intrigued, the man who'd signed the band gave them more studio time, and pretty soon 5 new songs were in the can. Finally, it was agreed, the Erivans could have a full album in addition to the single they'd contracted for. Even stranger, after he fixed an engineering problem on one of the songs, Tom was allowed to replace the producer EMI had assigned them. As the Erivans labored in Studio 2, the Beatles were busy with the White Album in Studio 3. And at last, the album was finished. Demo copies were pressed for the band, who were happy to return to St. Louis, and a newly recorded version of World of You was pressed up as a second single. Back home, the guys invited their friends over to hear the album.
Girl, I made my
And until 2003, they'd be the last people to hear it. The singles came out, but they tanked. Then, the guy who'd signed them and guided them the whole way discovered his wife was having an affair and had a nervous breakdown. The album wouldn't come out until a British journalist, intrigued with the story, hunted down the tapes, arranged for their release, and found Tom Hartman pursuing a career scoring films and commercials. Could the Erivans have become the American Beatles? I don't think so. Tom Hartman was too young at 17 to write really enduring songs like the Beatles did, and he was too obsessed with the Beatles at that point to be truly original. As he explained on a St. Louis television show...
As I told the people in the audience, this is kind of unique, I think, for an American group to go all the way to England to record. Yeah. The first question that comes to my mind is why?
Well, the main thing is... for a long time, it's been a thing with us to see how they... get the sounds they do over there, because they've always seemed to come out with better sounds than the U.S. studios did.
They might not have become the Beatles, but Tom Hartman does resemble another American whose career was starting at the same time in Philadelphia, Todd Rundgren. It would have been interesting to see how history would have been different had that Erivans album come out and been followed up, but it never happened.
Our rock historian Ed Ward lives in Berlin. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.
Sunday drives in Ferris wheels. Something then was something real. Now Sunday's really Monday in disguise. Floating down a stream of smiles. You take some time to stop away.